www.republicbroadcasting.org by going to republicbroadcasting.org and clicking on the donate button and sending badly needed fundage. And then also, you can download the Kosher Certified app. Make sure you are leading a non-kosher certified lifestyle. That's from nationalbugle.com, because we're number one. We are the number one place for downloading that app. Okay, today is our Friday show. We have with us Paul Edward Stevenson from somewhere in the British Isles. Paul, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Patrick. It's always good to be joined with yourself and do a show.
Well, it's good to have you. And I had the candid camera thing, candid camera thing on my mind, because there are these Russian disc jockeys or radio show hosts who have done some prank calls over the years, and you just apparently heard one. Who was that with?
Well, it's as fascinating and entertaining, but also it's very concerning, because this is not some random celebrity or something. This is our defense secretary that has been cranked cold. You know, not even just someone in government, like some, you know, innocuous person or something, but actually our defense secretary, Ben Wallace, including revealing in the video that we reveal here, he revealed that the plans to send the British warships to the Black Sea and send things like that. We're not really sure how close we're going to get to, you know, the Russian blockade there, but we plan to send ships there, yeah. And then he starts talking, the guy starts trying to get him to open up about whether they support Ukraine in nuclear weapons, to which he revealed and replied. He said, well, you know, more or less Putin wants neutrality there, but I mean, this is really going to anger him, you know, if Ukraine has got nuclear weapons. And the caller pranked and said, oh, we know this, but do we have your support? And he said,
were they saying they were from the Ukrainian government?
They were pretending to be Vladimir Zelensky himself.
Oh, okay. That's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, and then he said, well, you know, I would need to talk to my prime minister about these sorts of things. He said, but, you know, in principle, we're going to support the Ukrainian people, whatever they want to do, you know. I mean, this is our defense secretary. He's been prank called by just a Russian citizen. I mean, think about how much information the Russians and other intelligence agencies must have whenever they can do that. What a clown. He should be sacked straight away.
Yeah, and, you know, well, and he's not going to be, I doubt. But Adam Schiff, who's the head of the House of Representatives Intelligence Committee, got a phone call from this exact same people. I mean, there's two people who are involved in it. I don't know who was actually doing the talking. And I can't remember what he divulged. It was something, though. They got something kind of juicy on him. But yeah, there are no repercussions. There's no repercussions for any of this. And so this is something that they do. And were you saying that they've done it to President Erdogan of Turkey as well?
Apparently he's one of the guys that they've prank calls in the past. They've also done a prank call with Elton John. You know, who cares about that? But, you know, a guy like that's pretty sort of probably difficult to get to as well. One of the guys is called Alexei Stolyarov. He goes by the name of Lexus is his kind of name. I'm not sure who his colleague is. But he finished off the clip in RT, because RT interviewed him about this, saying that wherever their website is or wherever they post the actual initial source, because it's kind of spread throughout YouTube. There's a few YouTube channels are carrying it. He said that there's a teaser up there with their next prank call, which is with our Home Secretary, Priti Patel. And Priti Patel, of course, is responsible for immigration. So I've been really
already done. They've
fascinated
already, but they haven't released it yet. Is that the idea?
Yeah, but they've got a little taster on their website or wherever they post this stuff, their YouTube channel, and then they're going to release the full details of that. So it'll be really interesting if she really reveals something completely against the narrative of what she puts out there. Yeah, if she said something like, "Well, you know, obviously we want to replace white people." And we want as many immigrants in here as possible, you know. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, would she be that stupid? But it would be fascinating, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, and We have in the United States this Project Veritas, and they've gotten people, usually not super high up people, but they will interview people from like Twitter or Microsoft or pharmaceutical companies, whatever. And the and their modus of operation is they go to dating websites. And this might not be the only one they do, but this is a typical one. And they, you know, they have, I guess, some nice looking females, and they arrange some sort of date. And then the female brings a recording device and honey traps, and gets the person talking about what they do for a living and asks questions. And there you go. So there's that. Also, and this is slightly different, but produces the same results. We've had a walk down memory lane recently with all the focus that's been on Ukraine and the Maidan Revolution. And there were two very interesting phone calls that had been, I guess they were cell phone calls that were intercepted. One that has gotten some press, and Tucker Carlson had played it on his show, which was between Victoria Nuland and Gregory Piat, who is the American ambassador to Kiev at the time in 2014, where they're talking about who they want to have in the government, who they don't want to have outside the government. Maybe, you know, they're talking about Yatsenyuk. I think his name is Arseniy Yatsenyuk. So that's who Victoria Nuland wanted as a prime minister, and that's who she got. And then they talked about Vitaly Klitschko.
Klitschko, yeah.
Klitschko, the heavyweight boxing champion. And she said, well, she doesn't want him in the central government, but she wants him they should be talking to him on a weekly basis or whatever. And so what happens to him? He's not in the central government. He winds up as mayor of Kiev. Mm-hmm. And I know that I mean, you can see a picture from about 3 weeks earlier, from the 1st of December, 1st of February 2014. There's a picture of Nuland and John Kerry, who was Secretary of State, and also on the American side, Sassy Jen Psaki, who was, you know, the redhead spokeswoman. Well, she had been the spokesman for the State Department. I think at that same time, she was with the State Department. She's at the table. On the other side of the table, it's Klitschko in the middle, big, and then there's Yatsenyuk in the foreground, and then on the other, you see the side of somebody's head in their ear, but they're on the far side of the table, and Klitschko is so big that you don't really see that person. But that person was Petro Poroshenko, who became president. And so here's the State Department, Victoria Nuland, meeting with these three people who go on shortly to become the president, the prime minister, and the mayor of the capital city of Ukraine. So you had that was a phone call. But then also, about the same time, you had this phone call between Catherine Ashton, who is a British woman who was at the time foreign commissioner for the EU commissions. In effect, she was the EU foreign secretary or you know, foreign minister. And she was having a captured conversation with the foreign minister of Estonia, whose last name is Piat. Or pay it or something like that. Sounds similar to Greg Piat, the ambassador to Ukraine, but it's spelled P-A-E-T. And Foreign Minister Payet was telling Catherine Ashton that it wasn't government troops who were shooting at demonstrators in Maidan Square, that it was third parties who were shooting at both sides. And Catherine Ashton was saying, had you heard of that one?
I haven't, but it doesn't surprise me, because that's how they got the whole thing started in Syria, in Homs in 2011. They brought in some mercenaries and they started shooting, and one side blamed the other and the other side blamed the other, and that kicked the whole thing off. So, you know, these people, I mean, they're just, is there a word for them, Patrick? I mean, I don't know. There's just no depth to their sinister schemings. I mean, they just really are just a bunch of criminals. I was watching that film the other night, Once Upon a Time in America, with Robert De Niro, and you see how sort of criminal syndicates sort of build up. And of course, you know, even among that, there are some kind of rules and integrity, but these people, you know, nothing. I mean, these are real serious people, serious criminals. And I haven't heard that, but I did hear the clip where Victoria Nuland was basically just deciding who she wanted to be the next president of the Ukraine. I mean, it was quite funny because she just says, no, I don't, no, not him. I don't want Vitaly Klitschko. As you said, he can be in the periphery somewhere. We'll fit him in somewhere, but no, not him. And she also said, and screw the EU. I posted up on Facebook recently that, you know, unless the Ukrainian people voted for Victoria Nuland to have the final say in who their president is, then they've got a very different idea of democracy than what I have. I mean, are we surprised by any of this? I mean, I'll tell you another thing. A lot of this propaganda about the stalling Russian, you know, military campaign there. It says this is rife everywhere. Oh, Putin's bogged down and he underestimated the resistance. And they've got these maps, you know, that they draw out and stuff, and it looks very unfavorable for Russia. And in UK column news, these guys do some, you know, a lot of research, and they've obviously got the time to do it. They've got one of them where it's like the ISW, the Institute for Study of War, is responsible for, you know, drawing up these maps. And she's called Dr. Kimberly Kagan. She leads up that organization. And then the American Enterprise Institute is a guy called Frederick W. Kagan. He draws up a lot of these American maps. And these maps end up on BBC and Sky News and MSNBC and CNN. And, you know, they're pumped out to portray this idea of a struggling military effort by Russia. And then Frederick W. Kagan, her brother is a guy called Robert Kagan. And he's the head of the project for the New American Century. And he happens to be married to none other than one Victoria Jane Nuland.
Yes, there you go.
I mean, we know from the research that we do, even just like going on Wikipedia, and you follow the thread. There's more often than not you'll go down and some Jews everywhere, and they're all running this and they're funding that, and they know this, and that's her sister, and that's her cousin, and that's her brother, and then they, you know, I mean, it's just a racket, isn't it? I mean,
it's a family affair. It is. So I was earlier today, I listened to these great courses, university lectures on CD-ROMs. I listen to them when I'm driving or when I'm working with my hands as opposed to with my brain. And the one I've been listening to lately is called Masters of War. It is by Professor Andrew R. Wilson of the U.S. Naval War College. And it was a lecture on Clausewitz. One of the things he was quoting was from both 1991, when the United States attacked Iraq the first time, and then 2003, the second time. And he was quoting Cheney and Colin Powell and George Bush telling the American Army that, you know, we've learned the lesson from Vietnam. We are, you are going to have your hands free. You're not going to have one hand tied behind your back. You can do whatever you need to meet the military objectives. And, well, this lecture was obviously before the current events in Ukraine. It was in the context of a debate over, you know, whether politicians should be setting limits on their generals in terms of meeting military objectives. And, you know, the idea was that if you were setting boundaries on what types of tactics they can use and, you know, what kind of casualties they can inflict, you're tying their hands. Well, okay, so Bush and Cheney and Colin Powell, they said, your hands are free. You do whatever you want. And the result was you had shock and awe. You had these massive indiscriminate bombing campaigns and, you know, mowing down troops. And I remember at one point during the second war, the Iraq war, when Colin Powell, who at the time was, I guess, Secretary of State, but he was asked how many, you know, he was being asked about American casualties, not so many. And he was asked about Iraqi casualties, and he says, "Oh, well, we don't keep count. We're not in the business of counting bodies." Well, yeah, you see, the thing is, now what the Russians are doing, they are in the, they don't want to have shock and awe. They, you know, they don't want, they're, the Russian people, like the American people, if they saw mourning Iraqi women wearing the hijab and wailing and, crying in Arabic and things like that, it just looks alien, foreign and alien. Whereas if Russians see mourning Ukrainian women, they're probably going to understand what they're saying. They're going to relate to them. It's a completely different thing.
Yeah. Well, the tragic irony of it, of course, is that to some extent, I mean, to some extent, it doesn't matter to the Russians, but they're using Putin's restraint against him by saying, "Oh, look, he's getting bogged down." The reason that he's not, they haven't got it done entirely yet, is because he is trying to minimize the damage to infrastructure and private property, and also to minimize, the deaths, basically. So they're now using that as a way of saying that, oh, you see, he's not really doing so well. I mean, some of the ridiculous figures are coming out. I was listening to the Colonel McGregor again, and he said that apparently the CIA are saying that there's 70,000 casualties on the Russian side, and he said that's absurd. He said if that was the case, he said, there wouldn't even be any Russian military left in the country, more or less. He said, this is just absolutely ludicrous. Apparently, it's possible that there's maybe as many as 10,000 of them have casualties, but for the most part, he said that this whole idea of a struggling Russian military campaign is wishful thinking. He said there's no truth left in the West, he said. And so it's all just pure propaganda. And, people like Boris Johnson are riding high on it by being, seen as this wartime prime minister. He's even doing this kind of, like, in some of the pictures, if you notice, of Boris Johnson recently, he's adopted this kind of stoop, which is what Churchill used to have. Churchill had a bit of a stoop, he sort of leans over. He started doing this in the pictures. And sadly, it's kind of working. His popularity's gone up. All the scandals about, why they were partying while everyone was locked in their homes, that's all gone away. So you've, as usual, Patrick, you've got the usual brainwashed, compliant, believe everything comes out of mainstream media, believe everything comes out of the government, regardless of what it is, whether it's COVID or whether it's this. In fact, I do find this quite fascinating, that whole area of it. And there was a study done today, or that I came across today, and this confirms it. And it says, there's a question here. I think this was something done in Canada. There was a poll done, and it said, please write the
extent up. Yeah.
Yeah. It said, please write the extent to which you agree or disagree with the following statement. It says, I believe Russia is committing war crimes in the Ukraine. Now, it's divided up into people who received three doses or more of the vaccine, and then people who've received two doses, and people who were vaccine refusers. And out of the people who had received three or more vaccines, 88% agreed that Russia is committing war crimes in the Ukraine. Out of people who had received two doses, it was 70%. And vaccine refusers, it was only 32% of people who said.
Does that mean that the vaccine makes you retarded?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. But I think what it sort of demonstrates is...
Well, in the merry month of May, not from me home, I started, left the girls and two were nearly broken hearted, saluted Father dear, kissed me darling.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air and 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
I could no longer stand it, blood began to boil. Temper I was new as empowered old Aaron's oil. They began abusing Karami, so I says I'm a shillelagh, I let fly. Galway boys were by us, I was a howling will the lower, hooray, the giant in the affray. Quickly clear the way for the rocky road to double and one, two, three, four, five. Hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road.
Out of people who received two doses, it was 70%. And vaccine refusers, it was only 32% of people who said.
Does that mean that the vaccine makes you retarded?
Well, that's one way of looking at it. But I think what it sort of demonstrates is that there's a group of people out there who believe everything, and it's almost like a kind of, you know, to obey is to be seen as virtuous and to be morally superior. Pick your vaccine, and then there's an obvious correlation with those same people having 88% of them saying that they believe that Russia is committing war crimes in Ukraine. Yeah. And time again, you're seeing this divide, and this has got to be resolved at some point, because you cannot trust the media. So unless you change the media, something has to be done about this, because there are hysterical people at the moment who want whatever we can do, including some of them calling for a no-fly zone. In other words, they're so emotionally stirred up, they're so hysterical, and they're such a liability that they could start World War III.
Right, and that poll, I think it asks about a no-fly zone, but it also asks about, like, committing Canadian troops, right? Even if it risked World War III, it wasn't that one of the questions? I think it was. And, you know, on another show, I made the joke, instead of that it makes people retarded, like, it turns them gay. It's part of the, you know, that was, people thought it was going to be a kill shot. You know, the kill shot was for the depopulation agenda, but actually there was a depopulation agenda, but it's just that it turns people gay. You know, that's the other thing. But of course, it's not that the vaccine turned people anything, and it's that there is a type of person, the type of person who would unquestioningly take this, you know, the experimental gene therapy without doubting or questioning. They're just going to buy the Ukraine narrative. They were the same people who were saying Black Lives Matter and believe that January 6th was an insurrection and all of this. And it's been well summed up by a few different memes. One that I think even Elon Musk tweeted out, and it's shows the normie character, and he's got like a hypodermic needle sticking out of his ear and a Black Lives Matter stamped on tattoo, and he's got gay flag and all of this, and now he supports Ukraine. He says, "I support the current thing." That's one, you know, one of them. There's another that's got the picture of the normie with an angry face, and then it's got a hand reaching over and opening up the back of his head, and then the next frame it's got the hand is taking out what was it? They're taking out the coronavirus firmware, and they're installing Ukraine firmware, and then the last frame is the normie with an angry face again. So, I mean, there is a awfully big hunk of the population that is just going to go with whatever they're told. And, you know, it begs the question, do we have any future? I mean, can we actually – can we live in the same country with these people?
Well, this is something I've been talking about for a long time, because this is a huge gulf. And I actually alluded to it at my speech, that there is this massive gulf where, you know, what has, say, someone like us, or even your average sort of Trump guy, got in common with, you know, AOH or Ace, what's her name, and Cortez.
Yeah, AOC. Cortez. Yeah.
Yeah, so you have this complete lack of cultural and sort of political cohesion. And I think that's untenable. You know, that has to be broken at some point. There has to be a sort of, you know, this sort of, and I think there is that desire. It's like to immunize the eschaton, you know, let's just get it on here and see who wins out here, because it's the same thing every time. And it causes complete division. In fact, even in families. I hadn't heard from my own mother, Patrick, in about 3 weeks. And I normally hear from my mother about every week, 10 days, you know, the type of mother message. Everything okay? Haven't heard from you in a week, you know, as if, you know, sort of died in that time. That's the way mothers are. I've got a son. I understand it. Hadn't heard from her. I sent her a text message. She's in her mid-30s, or mid-70s. I said, is everything okay? You know, I haven't heard from you. Yeah, turns out I'm disgusted with you. With your Putin messages on Facebook, I'm really disgusted. How can you remotely support that absolute animal? And he's barbaric. He's completely evil. You know, literally just quoting BBC. You know, and to the point that she's now not even contacting her own son. And you know, I don't mean this to be disrespectful to my mother, but my mother would sit down in front of the television at 5:30 until 9 o'clock. She will, because I know, because I've lived with her at times over the years, she will sit and watch one soap after the next. Emmerdale Farm, Coronation Street, EastEnders. These are all just like, you know, soaps, you know, type of stuff.
I am aware of the EastEnders.
Yeah, this type of garbage. There's a lot of social engineering done on those things, you know. But yet my mother, because she's like, you know, someone presses the button somewhere to operate the zombies, and they get hysterical because BBC have now been telling them that you need to take Vladimir Putin, and so they get switched on, they get weaponized, but they are literally like a zombie.
Well, I'm a little bigger man, I'm bigger than a teen, I can teach a more, and a little lily green, and I know I'm from the leafy from the basement to the zoo, and
truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hey there, are you gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Standing 6'4", weighing 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The zombies, and they get hysterical because BBC have now been telling them that you need to hate Vladimir Putin, and so they get switched on, they get weaponized. They are literally like a zombie mob, and somewhere in between watching all these soaps, my mother has become a geopolitical expert, and there's no talking to her. There is no recognition that, well, actually, my son, you know, he sort of spends some time in this stuff. You know, maybe he knows more than I do. No way. She knows it all. And she basically will talk BBC and Sky News headlines, and because she's watching news for an extra half hour every day in this type of crisis, they suddenly think they're experts, and it's very frustrating, you know.
Tell me about it. I mean, I'm a former international relations professor, and I've been studying this you know, the Russian, Ukrainian, all these ethnic issues. I've been studying this for like 40 years, and does that get me anywhere? No street cred with that. These people, they heard something on CNN, and so they know better.
Yeah, I mean, the insinuation is whenever I say things to my mother, I don't think you're very informed on the whole situation. Then the insinuation, you'll get messages back that somehow I'm arrogant. And I'm like, okay, who's the arrogant one here? You know, you must know that you are not in any way informed on the inner workings of Russia and the Ukraine situation. But yet you're being dogmatic that you know everything. I had messages like with two exclamation marks. You're wrong. Just accept it. This type of stuff. And it's just like, where is your arrogance coming from? And I'm using my mother as an example, but I could use any number of people. They're convinced that they're right and you're wrong, even though, you know, you spend your head in this stuff all the time and they spend no time in it. It's like literally someone coming along. It's, you know, I use this example. If someone came along to me and said, you know, oh, my car's broken down, what do you think's wrong with it? And I had a quick look at it, and I said, well, I think it's your alternator. And then if there's a mechanic comes along who's been a mechanic for 25 years, and he said, no, you just need your spark plugs changed, blah, blah, blah. And I say, well, you know, you've got your opinion, I've got my opinion, we're all entitled to our opinions. Yeah, you are. But who's got the most authority in this situation? But this kind of logic doesn't apply when it comes into these cultural, political and geopolitical issues. It's all emotionally stirred up, and it's like, I'm right and you're wrong, even though they've got absolutely nothing of any credibility because they don't spend the time in it, but yet they're experts, you know?
So, you know, it gets to my democratic values and everything. You know, her vote counts as much as your vote, right?
Well, this is why I don't believe in democracy. And I also find it very irritating when Tucker Carlson's constantly banging on about democracy, when the founding fathers of America hated democracy. They America is a republic, and it's a very, very different thing. And the whole system there has been dismantled over the last century.
Well, I mean, like, democracy meant different things. Well, I don't know if it meant different things to different people, but there were people like Thomas Jefferson. He didn't have the same aversion to it that that others might have had. And, you know, the political party that that emerged out of the Jeffersonian movement was called the Democratic Republican Party. So, but of course, his view of what a democratic republic would be like, well, it would be a lot of yeoman farmers, a lot of people who owned their own land and farmed. It wouldn't, you know, with relatively little hierarchy. He wasn't for industrialization. So I don't
know.
Not
everyone had the right to vote, though. Not everyone had the right to vote.
Oh no, you know, and that was also, and the way that the United States was put together, there were different franchises or, you know, voting requirements in different states, and some had a broader franchise, some had a narrow franchise, which is why they didn't even keep track of popular vote for president. There aren't any records of popular votes for president before the 1824 election. So you had what, 9 elections before there's any effort to even keep track of popular vote, because it didn't mean anything. The electors were allocated by state, and you know, in some states they had different rules too. In some states, in fact, at the beginning, most the plurality of states, at least, it was the state legislatures that selected them.
Yeah, but what do you think, Patrick? How is this situation resolved? Because I do think it's untenable. And yet, you know, I'm constantly thinking about this stuff, even just before I go to sleep, sadly. You know, what is the best way? I mean, I'm instinctively against authoritarianism. How should I put this? I think it's risky having an authoritarian system, because you could have a benevolent authority, but you could equally have a hostile authority. Now, when I look at Putin, I think, okay, I wouldn't mind being ruled by this guy, all right? Because I know he's got the best interests of the Russian Federation at heart, and that supersedes my views as an individual. I understand that, and I can accept that. But over here, our rulers, under the false premise and the smokescreen of a democracy, which is actually, you know, authoritarian, what we have. At least Putin's more open about it, and in actual fact, they're probably less authoritarian than we are. But, you know, everything that our rulers do are counterintuitive to the national interest and subsequently hostile to the native population. For example, we see with immigration, they're always trying to make you poorer and everything else. And so this sort of democratic system has showed itself to be a complete farce. What is the solution to all of this? So that then makes me think, actually, maybe an authoritarian system is the way to go, and you can keep people like my mom in her place, you know, just pat her on the head and say, go back to watching your, you know, soaps, and that's the reason you don't get to vote. But then you could be in a situation where, you know, the authority gets corrupted. You could have one good leader, and the next guy comes in, and he's hostile again. So I don't know what the solution is. I mean, this whole stuff's been going on for centuries, I guess, so it's nothing new, I guess.
Well, you made the very important point that the so-called democracy in Britain, and you could, you know, extend it to many, many other countries, the democracy is actually more authoritarian than, say, you know, the Russian Federation. Well, the Russian Federation, they also have elections. So there's, you know, there's a couple of issues here. You know, one is the level of authoritarianism, the level of paternalism. You know, to what extent does the government interfere with or regulate people's lives? That's one question. How the government is selected? You know, who becomes policymakers? How policy is made? Is it a separate question? It may very well be a separate question. These might be two different issues. And you know, the United States, we had a system. We technically still do have a system that was set up by these founding fathers. And honestly, over a couple of centuries, it was working pretty well. Nothing's going to work perfectly, but it worked pretty well. The Americans became very wealthy. The nation became very powerful.
Yeah. The
tangible measures.
Biggest creditor nation in the world.
Yeah, there are tangible measures of success. But you know, if you're looking around at tangible measures now, we're a complete mess. On the other hand, China, over those recent decades, China has tangible success like probably no other country in history. The only country that could rival it in terms of that kind of tangible success, you know, maybe the United States, maybe ancient Rome. I don't know, but it would be pretty hard. It'd be pretty hard to find anywhere that rivals China. Now, China does have an authoritarian system, and you know, we talk about the social credit system, which you know certainly has the potential to be intrusive. But how does China select its leadership? How do you know the people who form policy? And it's not through these elections, which are you know heavily funded by campaign contributors. Our democracy, I guess, what was Ezra Pound famously said, that democracy is defined as a country ruled by Jews. I mean, in our, right? In
democracy, that's why they love it. That's why they love democracy.
Right. In our democracy, the media, probably more than any other institution, probably even more than the money bag financial institutions, maybe the media is the single most powerful institution. But what does China have? Because they don't depend on these kind of multi-party elections, these competitive elections, and yet they're getting good results recently. They have some sort of meritocracy, where it's not just a popularity contest. Now, so the question is: okay, they've incorporated meritocracy within their system, which is grafted on actually kind of a Marxist-Leninist party, right? And yet they're having good results. And they've got meritocracy grafted onto it. Would there be a way of grafting on meritocracy onto the kind of republicanism that was set up by the American founding fathers, or onto the system that Britain has inherited? And that's the question.
Well, let's look at it. America, that system, the Constitution, was working, as you said. It was working well for the first time. You had the middle classes were made up the bulk of the wealth in history. And that's unfortunately that also attracted a lot of people, because this was, you know, they were escaping tyrannical, despotic systems. And unfortunately, it also attracted a particular group of people. And that was the beginning of the end for it. And a century on, they've wrecked it. They've completely wrecked it. They really have. I mean, you're now looking at, I mean, it took them a century. You're now looking at, Saudi Arabia talking about transacting in oil in Chinese yuan. You got India now talking about transacting in the ruble. You know, they're losing the power of the dollar. Then what? Then what do they do? You know, I mean, where are these people going to go? I mean, this is the equivalent of, you know, they're in the process for the COVID thing of just wiping out the little guy. And they're just a vampire sucking and sucking and sucking. But the vampire will end up where there's no blood left. And I think the United States and the West are approaching that, both economically and morally. And then where do they go? They need something to suck on. I mean, are the Chinese going to be as receptive to them? If you read any of their attitudes towards George Soros, who they call the son of Satan, I don't think so. I don't think they're going to be as well received or as influential in China as they've shamefully, for a Christian West, been allowed to be able to rape and pillage and steal the way they've done against the United States, which should have been able to be protected against it as a Christian country. They should have known. They should have known what they're dealing with if they understood the history of Christianity, for example. I mean, Henry Ford did, but by that stage it was too late. They'd already got control of the media and everything else. So it's a sorry tale, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So, but the thing is, what the system that is in place in the United States and in Britain, isn't it in its death throes? Is there any possible way that the system that we have in place can survive? I mean, is it at all sustainable when you've got all the things that they're doing to it? You know, there's no meritocracy. There's the exact opposite. You know, with the affirmative action or positive discrimination, the exact opposite. You've got the elite, the commercial elite and the governing elite, encouraging us to do all these completely unhealthy things. You know, trannyism is just the latest, but everybody getting fat. In America, there's just so much, so many people in early middle age who just go on Social Security disability. People aren't working. And because people aren't working, then that provides the excuse to bring in an infinite number of alien people. And it just can't go on like this. So something's going to happen.
It has to. And, you know, the other thing that I was – there was a shocking statistic. I think it was – I can't remember where I heard it. It might have been from Ron Paul, but I was talking about it. That in the period of time that since COVID started – there's been more deaths from alcohol-related deaths than COVID itself. Most of them between young men in the bracket between 25 and 44, are basically just drinking themselves to death. More than COVID. And bearing in mind, the COVID figures are massively amplified.
Completely predictable. And in fact, I mean, I know I was saying that this was going to happen back two years ago. Dang it, because you could look at what happened in Russia in the 1990s.
Yeah.
The economy collapsed.
And my church thought I was a troublemaker, and Satan himself, I warned about it. I said, do not support this whole shenanigans. I said, have the insight. You should know as Christians what this is about. And I got really angry with them. And I said, do not lock your church down, because in a couple of years' time, this is going to be a complete mess, and don't be associated with it. Seem to be different. You might even grow your church. Oh, no, we must be responsible, must obey the authorities. Romans 1, blah, blah, blah. Just morons, cowards, and sorry to get, but I, you know, that is a shocking amount of young men dying, and it's just, I mean, it's depressing, Patrick. It is untenable, and there are silver linings to it, because the real crisis was not COVID. The real crisis is now an economic one and, of course, a moral one, and it's untenable because it causes intense human misery, and I've always said it, when people are miserable enough and they're hungry, then they start asking who and what's doing this, and by the way, when they get to that point, they stop being so worried about being called an anti-Semite. I can tell you that much.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, and so it does get us back to this question of, okay, now what? And the thing is, there's over the past 60 years, there are all these facts on the ground. There's so many new people who have come into our countries. I mean, in the United States, you're talking about at least 100 million who either themselves or their, you know, their parents or whatnot, they came here after 1965. That's a third of the country, and you're not getting rid of them. You've got the massive genetic entangling of blacks and whites who had been relatively separate, pretty much separated for most of. I mean, there had been some mixing under slavery, but. All of a sudden, you know, this is really over the past few years, it's really, really accelerated to the point where you're just not getting white babies born. I mean, white women are just having these heavily subsidized mulatto children subsidized by the taxpayer because they're not going to be, to a large extent, they're not going to be raised by their fathers. The trannyism, the homosexuality. It's completely unsustainable. A lot of things cannot be unwrapped. They cannot be undone. I mean, you're not going to deport 100 million people. And one thing that's different is the people who came in the late 1800s, mid to late 1800s, they might not have been easy to assimilate, but they did assimilate. And they got to the point where they identified with the American founding fathers. The people who are here now aren't aren't every they can't.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
They might not have been easy to assimilate, but they did assimilate, and they got to the point where they identified with the American founding fathers. The people who are here now aren't ever, they can't. In fact, they're indoctrinated and rewarded and incentivized to hold American culture and the American founders in disdain.
Yeah. Which would survive if they would stop making to the point that they're
you're breaking up a little bit.
It wouldn't be surprised if they had that hostility to the native culture and then kept themselves completely separate. That wouldn't be so bad. But what you have is this kind of merging as well, to the point where it dilutes the native population, who are already not having children, because lots of white women in their 30s are not only screwed up, they're just sitting at home in their pajamas watching Netflix on the pill. So that if they find a guy on a dating site, they can have promiscuous sex without worrying about getting pregnant. You know, I mean, this is, I know it's, we're all getting signs about depression, but I mean, we've been over these things before, and it is a moral decline. and the economic mess and destruction is starting to be felt now. And that's when people will start to say, I don't care, just sort this out. There is historical precedence for it. It happened in the 1930s Germany. And I think that what you're going to see is a rise of nationalism. There's already a trend for that. And I think that's going to come out of this. You know, people assume that it's just inevitable that we're going to be under the World Economic Forum and that they're going to get their own way with everything. And it's just a given. I don't see it like that. I think they're cutting their own throats with the dollar. I'm actually optimistic. I just think there's going to be a hell of a lot of suffering. I just hope it doesn't include a hot war, a world hot war, you know?
Right. I mean, the best thing that we could hope for would be not a huge hot war, but for a huge humiliation. You know, there was a minor humiliation last summer, which I thought was a great thing with the Afghan pullout, the so-called botched Afghan pullout. Yeah, I mean, it's botched in the sense that they didn't do it the way they might have wanted it to, but it had a great result. And I have the feeling, you know, that I don't see any stopping Putin from achieving his political goals in Ukraine. I don't see any chance of Victoria Nuland and the Jew crew at the State Department achieving their goal of regime changing Putin. I don't think there's any stopping the Chinese economic juggernaut. And I think the rulers of our countries are facing a humiliation. Then what? Yeah. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah. Well, out of the ashes of that, I've always thought that some...
Huh? We're at the end of the show. Do you have any last thoughts?
Well, I do see silver linings to it. I do think out of the ashes can a better, you know, ruling system. Hopefully, you know, a rise of, you know, white nationalism. I know that sort of probably terrifies a lot of normies and everything else, but, you know, that's not going to involve, we're not going to be taking everyone and burning them in camps like people seem to think would happen. Just a return to common sense and decency and honesty in government, because the current situation is just really untenable.
Yeah. The current situation is where everyone else can have their own ethnic grievances and nationalisms, and the white majorities just have to sit there with their mouths shut, and that is such an unhealthy situation.
Everyone stay in their own lane. This whole idea of multiculturalism, wherever it is, it's a bit of nonsense. It's completely unwise, and it causes nothing but pain and suffering. So no more people coming here, and we'll give as many people as incentives as they can to go back to their ancestral homelands, and let's get back to reality.
Yeah, I think in Britain you can still do it. In the United States, it's a little bit of a different story. But at any rate, we can't solve all the world's problems in one show, but I want to thank you for solving at least some of them here today.
Thank you, Padre. It's always great to talk to you.
And I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.